Hey guys, Alex here, AJNashville.com, here with Mr. Jeffrey Perry.
Say, what's up, dude, everybody?
Jeff, your fucking nipples are poking out of your shirt. You see that?
Yeah, they've been doing that lately.
It's like, that's weird. So anyway,
it's cold.
I'm surprised I even noticed that. I just kind of glanced at your shirt and all of a sudden I see these two like finger pointers. They look like fucking, like, yeah, you can cut glass with those things. Anyways, so hope everyone had a great weekend. It's Monday, off to a great day. It's kind of gloomy outside, which is kind of shitty, but you know, the crazy thing is, so daylight savings time took place this weekend, and you see a lot of kind of one-sided things when it comes to it. People complain because people like to bitch about stuff anyways.
You know the background of that, right?
No. It's something to do with farmers, right?
Correct. Yeah. So they needed more daylight time to work the fields.
Right.
Well, guess what we have now on tractors?
Big
bright things, yeah. And we even have LED Cree lights now. I mean, we can go to the extent of lighting up the whole entire field.
It's funny that you talk about headlights when you have your little nipples are hard.
They hurt right now.
They hurt.
Yeah.
What have you been doing? Fucking putting like little alligator clips on or something?
No.
Weirdo. But yeah, so initially this is something that started a long, long time ago, obviously.
Yeah, although they don't do it in Arizona.
Right. I wonder why.
Because they don't have farms.
Because they're like, fuck it. They're like, fuck it. We're not going to fall into this trap. So yeah, it changes the amount of time that we – not the amount of time, but the amount of daylight, theoretically, on a clock at least,
yeah,
of how much time you have.
It but the swaps good thing it is, around. It puts it in the morning versus the evening. That's all it does.
Right. And the good thing about that is, you know, the lesson that I took from it was, hey, you know what? Now you can just get up an hour earlier without having to retrain your body on the, you know, the actual physical clock, because your body typically runs on its own clock anyways. And so now you're able to get up an hour earlier and do the things that you want to do before your competition wakes up, because most people will readjust.
No, it's a day to gain an hour if you don't readjust.
Right. So most people that will readjust, they'll go back and they'll say, okay, today I woke up at 5:30. Tomorrow I'm going to wake up at 6. The day after that I'm going to wake up at 6:30. Then I'll be back at my, you know, 6 o'clock or 6:30 wake up time, as opposed to saying, hey, I'm going to get up an hour earlier and do some more things before my competition has a chance to get up. And a lot of people don't realize that it's not necessarily that you have to get up early to get things done, but it is so much easier to get up early and get things done before everybody else wakes up. It's easier to get in the office, get things knocked out before your phone starts ringing, text messages start coming, emails start firing through. The only person that I don't get up before that has to do with operations that will email me prior is our underwriter, Danny.
Hmm.
Danny's up at like fucking 3 o'clock in the morning underwriting files. Like, hey, honey, I need this, I need that, I need this. I'm like, shit, I'm not going to beat her up at all. It's not going to happen. She just gets up too early and she gets to the office. But here's the thing. So that time change, although I look at it as an opportunity, my kids are like, what the fuck? Like,
I can imagine that was fun.
They were psycho. Like, I thought they were going to
figure there was a reason why
now.
You didn't pick up the phone yesterday. I'm like, oh, he's having yesterday, fun.
No, it was stressful. So they get up and they get up early for one. For two, you know, nap time, we usually try to hit that about noon and they'll lay down, they'll go to sleep. By the time like 9:30 rolled around, they were already going ballistic. Roan was crying for no reason. Lincoln was fighting her. Dude, Lincoln grabbed a ball of her hair and was pulling it. I'm like, stop. They wanted to be rambunctious. They wanted to jump. They wanted popsicles. You name it. Like, kids do some pretty crazy shit, dude. Like, you have no idea the type of things kids will do. They don't fear. They don't care. And they don't know. So, you know, Roan wants to color. Lincoln doesn't want her to color. She's got a green pencil. He wants to have a green pencil. There's 30 other green pencils in the box, but not the one that he wants. And so they get into a fight. And then once the fight breaks up, one's screaming, the other one's not. Both want to be held. They want to be held at the same time. They don't want to go anywhere. They don't want to sit in the chair. They do want to sit in the chair. They don't want to eat, but
wow.
They're starving.
Wow.
Yeah.
I don't know what dude, I would do. I'd die.
Roan flipped shit yesterday because we had SpaghettiOs for them because they love SpaghettiOs. And so that's like a quick, hey, let's put this together. Let's make them some SpaghettiOs. They're good to go.
Mm-hmm.
It didn't have meatballs. She wanted meatballs. There was no meatballs in the cabinet, you know, no SpaghettiOs with meatballs in the cabinet. So it's like, we don't have any meatballs. You cannot tell a kid you do not have something. You better fucking find it or else she's going to light your life on fire. I'm serious. She screamed to the point where I went out to the deep freezer. And the deep freezer, by that I mean it's deep, not freezes something deeper.
Right.
Those of you that have listened to previous podcasts, you'll get that joke. But I go in there, and luckily I have a bag from Sam's Club of meatballs. And I'm like, praise the Lord. So I go in, I throw them in the air fryer, cook them up. By that time, she's eaten half of her spaghetti.
Doesn't want the meatballs.
No, she wants them, but she doesn't eat them. She still wants them. She wants them physically in her bowl. She wants them to sit there, but she's not going to eat them. So she wants me to cut them up, so I cut them up like a good daddy should. And she didn't want to eat them. She just literally sat there and looked at them and then got down. And I was like, are you done? She said, yeah. And that was it. Like she almost.
Wow.
She almost gave me a heart attack.
She went into vapor lock.
Yeah.
And then you made the meatballs.
Yes.
Cut them up.
Yep.
She looked at them, got down, and then she was fine.
Did
and didn't
not
want any food.
Anything to do with them. Nope. So that's kids for
you. Did
you
eat them?
Yeah. Of course I ate them.
Okay, good.
I mean, they were good. You know, for Sam's Club meatballs, they were pretty good. I actually made chili using them.
Oh.
Yeah, it was actually really good.
That sounds fire.
Instead of a bunch of beans, it was just meatballs
because
I had to get rid of them. Anyways, so I do want to say it is the Marine's birthday this week, November 10th, 1775. You know, when it comes down to the Marines, there's some really inspirational videos and things that you're seeing that are kind of circulating online right now. You know, these guys are the grunts. They're the warriors. They're the guys that get out there and the girls that get out there and get shit done.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're the front line of our defense. I know all the other branches of the military, they get out there and do their own thing as well. But the Marines are kind of like, hey, let's get shit done. So happy birthday to the Marines. Without you guys, we couldn't do the things, guys and girls. We could not do the things that we do today, such as this podcast, such as having the freedom of speech and being able to live in a free country, a free world, so to speak.
I thought about that yesterday when I was at Sam's Club. I was looking around, all the food stacked to the ceiling.
Yeah.
And us being able to walk around in peace in a store and purchase food and go home and enjoy our day of entertainment or whatever the case is going to be. So spoiled. And these guys and girls protect these things for us. And it's something that goes taken with a grain of salt at some at points, and you know, and
for
I,
sure
it
we wake up in the morning and we think you don't think about the cost of freedom. You don't wake up in the morning and think, God, you know what, today's a great day and we're free because of the sacrifices that are made on a day-to-day basis. You know, and the thing is, in my opinion, people that have not deployed or people that have deployed, everybody's got their position within the military that allows everything to function. You know, it's kind of like this business, for example. You know, I don't do the underwriter's job, but the underwriter makes my job complete. And so there's that fluid transition of getting things done. So and I bring that up because you see some people say, well, you know, are you really a veteran if you've never deployed? In my opinion, and I'm not a veteran, so I can't speak on this from a, you know, an educated standpoint, so to speak. But in my opinion, if you've served, you've served.
It's all working components.
Right. They're all working pieces. It doesn't mean that you have to be overseas. You know, a lot of these drones and stuff, I think it's Colorado, somebody told me, that people are sitting in Colorado flying these drones, you know, 5,000, 10,000, whatever it is, miles away in a different country and able to execute their task. So, you know, either way, the big thing is my brother's a Marine. My other brother is a Marine. Dude, we go out to California. All those guys are Marines. It's like, hey, what do you do? Well, I'm a Marine. So, you know, thank you for all the service and sacrifice that each of you men and women have put in. Thank you for protecting and preserving our freedoms.
Mm-hmm.
You know, at the end of the day, that's the biggest thing. But speaking of freedoms, so the thing that these men and women protect, you know, it can be very sensitive when you get to talking about some of that stuff. You know, as far as what people can say and what people can't say. You know, there's a line. There's a respect line, so to speak. And that brings me to this. You ever heard of a guy named Pete Davidson?
No.
Okay. So Pete Davidson was on Saturday Night Live, did a skit. By the way, this dude looks like – in this skit, he's wearing a orange button-up shirt, and it looks seven sizes too big. His hair is fucking gray, which this guy's probably 20-something years old. And
he's making a statement.
He's making a statement that he's a fucking piece of shit because what he did is he mocked a Navy SEAL, Dan Crenshaw, who was actually running for a political office. Dan lives in the state of Texas. He lost his eye during war.
Mm-hmm.
They were attacked by an IED. He lost one eye, severely damaged the other. And this Pete Davidson says, you know, he's sitting there, he's mocking all these political candidates. And he says, he makes a statement, oh, you know, he lost his eye in a war or whatever. Nothing like putting down the very thing that allows you to be on TV and be what he is, which is a piece of shit. But, you know, I mean, without these men and women that have served, this guy wouldn't have the freedom of speech to get on TV and to make millions of dollars by spewing his garbage out of his mouth all the time. You know, Dan was a – or is a SEAL. He served with SEAL Team 3. I wonder if he served with Andrew Paul. I'm going to have to text Andrew and ask him because Andrew was a SEAL Team 3 commander as well. And looking at Dan's history, Dan was in Coronado, which is where Andrew also lived. Dan retired in September of 2016. He served with SEAL Team 3 five different deployments and actually served two other times after he lost his eye.
That's intense.
That's insane. You know, this reminds me of Chad Fleming. Chad Fleming was an Army Ranger. He was a captain in the Army and an Army Ranger. And I keep saying was. You know, these men and women, once they get in there and do what they do, there is no was about it. They are. Mm-hmm. You know, they are Marines. They are Navy SEALs. They are Army Rangers. But, you know, I make my excuses about my legs and, oh, it hurts today and blah, blah, blah. You know, and Chad lost one of his legs in deployment. And he doesn't complain, at least not on the surface. He doesn't. Maybe he goes back to his room and complains. I don't know. I don't think he would. But it really puts in perspective the things that we take for granted and complain about. Like I was thinking about this the other morning. How can I get up and complain about, oh, my legs hurt? When you have somebody like this YouTube video I watched the other night, the guy with no legs does a, like, have you ever seen the Iron Man or whatever it is?
That kind of stuff. Okay, so that stuff – honestly, I mean, for myself, if I have just some little kind of an ailment, or especially if it's physically seen by the public.
Right.
Okay. So we're talking, you know, if I have like a rash on my arm and I go to the gym, I'm trying to like kind of cover that up, even though, you know, it's just a little rash, whatever, but it's for some reason.
What do you cover it up with? Like a long sleeve shirt?
Or, yeah. You know, okay. Whatever the case is. So, but these guys that lose a limb. Mm-hmm. Or have some sort of a handicap or whatever the case, they have to go out in public every day with that.
Yeah.
And then not only do they go out in public with it, but they exceed levels of excellence as far as working out or doing whatever the case is to keep moving and keep going, even with these adversities that came into their life.
Well, it's mental
intense.
Mindset.
It's just intense to watch these guys. And they work out harder in the gym than the guys with all their limbs.
That's like the guy that comes to the gym that had a heart attack. What they call it, a widow maker?
Oh, yeah.
And comes in there and busts his ass.
I know which one you're talking about. Yeah. And he went from like maybe, I would say he at least close to 300 pounds and then dropped all the way down to maybe he's like 180 now.
I mean, the biggest thing is I think that, you know, there's a mental mindset, there's a mental strength that when you're faced with adversity, you say, you know what, I can either feel sorry for myself, feel bad about myself, or I can adapt and overcome.
Right. But what I'm saying is it takes a whole nother level of courage because not only are you having to deal with your thing that happened to you,
mm-hmm.
Okay, which that in itself is horrific. Okay, that if you've got all your extremities and you, you know, obviously you take a lot of that for granted every day, but just kind of fold your thumb over and then try and use just four fingers.
Right, exactly.
Okay, but then not only that, but then you also have the fact that you're out in public with people looking at you now, where you actually weren't like that before, but now you are. It's difficult, and these people are strong, and they are very courageous to do the things that they do, and I applaud them.
Well, and that's the biggest thing is, you know, they get out there and they get after it, and they get out there in that mental mindset. You know, these are people that – and not just the people that have chosen to serve our country. I mean, obviously, that's a big portion of who we're talking about right now. But just in general, you know, you could be a civilian that's out there, and you've had some type of – I don't want to use the word handicap.
No, adversity, because, something that came into your life that changed things.
And people have a decision. You have a decision to sit there and say, oh, my God, I feel sorry for myself. Poor me, poor me, poor me. Or you could get out there and fucking just do it, you know?
Yeah.
I have a friend of mine that's in a wheelchair. He had a motorcycle accident when he was in the military. He is a Marine.
Mm-hmm.
And he – From what I've seen, he doesn't let any of that impact him. He lives his life as happy as he can. He gets after it. He does what he needs to do. He's purchased vehicles that they've had to adapt, and then he had a car that they adapted. They got everything said and done, which is expensive to adapt one of these vehicles.
Sure.
Insurance covers a portion of it, but turn around, he gets it fixed, ready for him to drive, and somebody runs into him.
Ah.
So, you know, but it's about keeping that positive mindset, keeping your chin up, your shoulders forward, and getting ready to run through the next ball, because life is filled with obstacles.
Nobody you and I talked about that the other day.
Right.
It's just it's always one thing after another. You can't just get to a point where everything's really – it's going to be good. There's always still going to be something else.
There's still going to be something else. There's still going to be an issue. You know, I would be hard-pressed to believe that there's anybody in this world that doesn't experience some type of issue on a regular basis, maybe not day-to-day, you know, because some days are better than others for a lot of people. But, you know, where they have to get up and there's something that they're facing. Mm-hmm. You know, the richest people in the world, they still have to figure out how to keep themselves from litigation, how to keep themselves happy, how to keep their family happy, how to
– find out who loves them and doesn't love them.
Or how to invest their money or how to invest in their health, you know. The big thing is we look at things from a scoring purpose, and it's all about, you know, when you look at the score, you look at money. Mm-hmm. You say, hey, this person's a billionaire. They're on the top of the scoreboard. But if you're a billionaire and you're deathly sick, money doesn't mean shit.
Doesn't mean anything.
Right. So it's about keeping everything in order and dealing with those different things. The richest man or woman in the world they don't mean shit if they have a heart condition or if they can't get out of bed or if they're
– or they have bravely. No love in their life and no joy.
Right, yeah. Right. So – you know, those are different things that people face, and it's a matter of saying, hey, I'm able to adapt, I'm able to overcome, I'm able to push forward, I'm able to do the things that I was meant to do. You know, if you look at my history and my life, and if those of you that are listening, if you're interested in listening to that as well, they're on earlier podcasts. You know, they're titled Story of My Life 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. But by every sense of the means, I could play victim. You know, I could say, poor me, poor me, poor me, and I'm sure I can get a lot of people to feel sorry for me. And I can get a lot of people to sit there and say, oh, you know, poor Alex, it's okay.
But that won't get you ahead.
It's not going to get me ahead.
It just keeps you in a state of sorrow.
Of pity.
Yeah.
You're feeling sorry for yourself. You're expecting other people to feel sorry for yourself, and there's no reason for it. You know, feeling sorry for myself, the only thing that does is waste opportunity. And a waste opportunity within the day, if I spend an hour feeling bad for myself, that's an hour worth of opportunity that I could have done something else.
Well, and you know, the thing with this is you've got to be able to get away from that mindset. And if you don't and you stay stuck in it, it's very difficult. Now, the thing is, though, and let's be honest, it's tough sometimes.
It is. Absolutely. Anybody that says it's not tough to get over something, they're full of shit. You know, because regardless of what it is, you have to eventually deal with it. You have to face it. And some things are harder to face than others. Not everything in life is a cakewalk. So sometimes when you hit adversity, it's something that's more traumatic than other times. You know, like we talked about in the last podcast, losing my mom. You know, that was something that it took a great length of time. And I look back at it and I think to myself, what all opportunities did I miss during that length of time? You know, where could I be now in my life, or what could I have done to help other people in that length of time that I didn't do? And so, yes, there's some backwards thought of, wow, I should have done X, Y, and Z differently. Now, I don't live that with regret, because it helped me identify certain things and helps me grow, you know, but.
Well, and that's something that this SEAL did. Okay. So he went out there, he served our country,
mm-hmm.
continued to serve our country
mm-hmm.
after something horrific happened to him,
yeah,
to protect our freedom. And then you've got people making light of that and making fun of it.
Making jokes about it.
Yeah. And you know, that sickens me.
Right. Well, and here you have a guy, if you haven't looked this guy up, and you know what, I shouldn't be judgmental, but when it comes to people, you know, making fun of people that have sacrificed for our country.
Yeah, he doesn't even know the guy, and the guy doesn't know, and the guy that served didn't know him, but yet he protected his freedom.
In fairness, I don't know this guy, Pete Davidson, but I'm passing judgment based on an observation of what it is I see, and that doesn't make it any more right than.
Well, and here's the other thing, too. We don't know how scripted these things are at Saturday Night Live. So if that's the case, you know, we don't know if it's scripted or not.
Yeah, but that's all
someone could have wrote it.
Right. That somebody could have wrote it. But at the end of the day, what somebody decides to say and what they don't is two separate things. You know.
Yeah, he carried it out even though it could have been written.
Right. And like I said, you know, on the surface, it's easy for me to go and judge this Pete Davidson guy and say, hey, you know, you're an ugly piece of shit because of X, Y, and Z. And I'm not justifying anything that he's done, because I think what he did was absolutely horrific and stupid and disgraceful.
Right, but casting judgment calls, obviously we all have our own demons.
Well, and that's what I was getting to is, you know, you never know what this person's going through on a personal level. I'm not saying what he's doing is right, but it's not right for me to turn around and say, hey, this guy is X, Y, and Z if I don't know him.
Right.
You know, and that's what he did to this seal. And it wasn't right, and it's not right, and it's not something that I'm going to, oh, man, you know, it's okay because he was having a bad day.
Now, did he come out and make any kind of a formal apology or anything of
I
that nature?
I think there was discussion of it, and the thing is Dan Crenshaw said, you know what, I go through my life and I try not to offend people, and I go through my life and I try not to be offended. But he basically stated, you know, there's no reason for an apology.
Well, he's obviously a bigger man.
Well, and at the end of the day, he fought for the same freedoms to allow people to do those things. That's mm-hmm. what he served for. That's what he signed up for. So, you know, it's kind of a catch-22. Once again, I don't agree with anything that was said, you know, and I think what Pete Davidson said was very disgraceful. But, you know, the fact that Mr. Crenshaw could be a bigger man
mm-hmm.
and step up and say, you know what, fuck it, whatever.
Well, that obviously truly shows the heart of that man as well. It means that, you know, he did what he did because he loves his country.
Right. And that's the biggest component of all these people, you know. They go
they're not picking and choosing who they love and fight for.
Right.
They love their country as
exactly.
a whole.
Exactly. Yep. So, you know, that's something that we see throughout I mean, it seems like on a daily basis, you have people that disagree and you have the left and the right and the middle and the people that want this and they want that. And at the end of the day, all that is protected by our nation's heroes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, whether it be the men and women that serve this country by going overseas and deploying to protect this country against foreign threats or, in our case, potential foreign invaders with the people that are coming up from the South. Mm-hmm. You know, trying or getting ready to cross our borders. Or you may be talking about the men and women that serve on the police force. You know, everybody gives these guys and women a hard time. There's always some bad nuts within the, you know, the case or whatever you want to say. But for the most part, police do their job.
Mm-hmm.
First responders do their job. Firefighters, you know, everyone wants to bitch and complain till it comes time to use one of those services. Everybody wants to bitch and complain, and I say everybody, I'm using that as a general term. Obviously, I don't literally mean everybody, but people want to bitch and complain until their cat's stuck in a tree or their house is on fire.
Mm-hmm.
Then suddenly it's, oh, I need to call the fire department because these are the people that are going to come that are trained to save my house, you know, or, hey, somebody just broke in my house. I need to call the police department. The same people that I just called and talked shit about online or took pictures of or harassed or did whatever it was that they did. You know, at the end of the day, let's make these people's job a little easier and show some respect. Let's prosecute the wrong ones, the ones that are doing shit they shouldn't be doing, and let's hold those people accountable. But on the surface, the people that are just doing their job on a day-to-day basis, show them some respect. They get up in the morning, they put their shoes on, they put their coats on, they kiss their family goodbye, and they go out and they get in their squad car not knowing if they're coming home that night. And that's something that is always a fear. You never know when there's this psycho out there that decides he's going to kill everybody that he runs into, and the first person that he runs into is a police officer because he's speeding down the interstate. Now a normal traffic stop suddenly turns into a murder, you know, and that's a very real thing. So show some respect, you know, show some respect to our nation's heroes, show some respect to our first responders, show some respect to the firefighters, police officers that are out there doing the shit we don't want to do every day, because if the job was so easy, all of us would do it. The pay is shit. You know, but I'm sure the adrenaline rush would be kind of fun.
Mm-hmm.
But if it was such an easy job, sign up. You know, I'm not going to.
Mm-mm.
Because I like to be able to come into my office and do what it is I want to do and not have a threat of some random person doing something to me. Or I like my office not to be on fire every time I step in. I mean, think about it. You're a firefighter. Every time you step into your proverbial office, it's on fire. You know, that's... I guess that happens to us in a mortgage standpoint where it's kind of on fire all the time, but that's not necessarily the case for us. So anyways, I want to thank everybody for tuning in. Thank you so much for your time. I hope you've had a great weekend. I hope that you're able to adapt to this getting dark at 1 p.m., you know, and we're able to make some changes and do some things that are productive based on that change instead of looking at it from a negative standpoint. I also want to thank our sponsor, House on the Rock Home Inspection, Dave Granatra. These people do an incredible job about protecting your largest asset, which is your home.
Mm-hmm.
They can typically find any issues before they arise or issues as they are arising. So if you're looking for a great company, oh, Dave's a big fan of cars and motorcycles and stuff too, which I think is really, really cool.
I did not know that.
I didn't either. And then I was on one of these Middle Tennessee Motorsports pages, and I asked about some Michelin Pure Super Sports. And he's like, yeah, I used to have that on my ZX14. I'm like, whoa. So Dave's awesome, though. Give him a call, 615-717-7900. Him and his team will definitely make sure that whatever it is that you purchase, that it's at least looked at first. That I say whatever it is you purchase. But when you purchase a home, a condo, a townhome, something like that, give these guys a shout. They do their job better than anybody else or anyone that I've ever worked with, at least. So any closing words or anything, Jeffrey?
No, I wish everybody a great week.
Yeah, knock it out. Let's get shit done. We'll talk to you soon. Hey guys, thanks again for tuning in to the AJ Nashville podcast. Let me take a second to thank our sponsors, the people that make it possible for me to be in your ears on a week-to-week basis. Thanks again for tuning in. House on the Rock Home Inspection with Dave Ganatra. You can feel free to reach his team at 615-717-7900. Let me tell you, when it comes to protecting your greatest asset that you'll ever purchase, Dave's got you covered. Builders fear this man. Feel free to reach out to his team. Once again, 615-717-7900.